I am excited to be here today. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. We're going to continue our study of the biblical worldview. And the title of the message today is The Church. Before we get into that, as I was preparing, you can only imagine how excited I am to preach today. I was getting ready this morning, and you know, sometimes the Lord speaks to the heart. And as I was getting ready, the Lord spoke, and He said, "You know, there are no victories without a battle." And so, as I thought about that throughout the morning, I was sitting here a while ago thinking, you know, 1 month ago I came home from the hospital and was using a walker and couldn't feel my right foot and part of my right leg. And short time after that, I was able to walk, graduated to a cane for a few days, and I graduated without. And come to the point now where today I'm walking. But you know, it's the little things. And when the song service a while ago, I was blessed in that as Dale was leading, I was patting my right foot to the music. I have not been able to move that foot like that. God's blessing. It's the little things. But this today is not little. God has showered His blessings upon me to give me this privilege to talk to you today or to preach to you today. And we're going to talk about something that should be so very relevant in everyone's life, especially the lives of the believer. We're going to talk about the church, or maybe a better description of this message would be why church. Would you stand with me? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. I just want to give you that while ago. Just take a moment and testify how good our God is. And you don't know what you're experiencing. You may be experiencing a lot of trouble, but I can testify to you, based on my last month, there can be no victory without a battle. But you be faithful. God will provide the victory in His time. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by Him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of the house of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, "I'm of Paul," or "I'm of Apollos," or "I'm of Cephas," or "I'm of Christ." Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest anyone should say that I had baptized in my own name. Yes, I also baptized the house of Stephanas. Besides, I do not know whether I baptized any other. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we bow to you today. praising you because you are God. We thank you for the blessing of gathering together as your church to enjoy fellowship with one another, but most of all to honor you with our praise and with our worship. For Father, you are good. You have been good to your children. The greatest gift, Lord, you have given is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we thank you. We praise you for that gift of salvation. And I pray if there is one today who does not know you as their personal Savior within the sound of my voice, or if they're watching at home on TV, do not have that assurance of salvation, I pray that today the cross of Christ and the power of that cross will change their life forever. Lord, we glory in your goodness. Now I pray your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Do you ever ask yourself the question, why church? And this message today is not to beat you over the head with anything. It's to, let's just talk. And why church? What's the point? I mean, we spend a lot of time here, right? Or a lot of us do. Why? Now, the idea of this study, of course, is a biblical worldview. I want you to understand, as a biblical worldview, what we're talking about is that you view everything according to the basis of and in agreement with the Bible. And so as we look at the church, I just want to encourage you to look at the church based upon what the Bible says about the church. My opinion doesn't really matter. The opinion of the world doesn't really matter. What does the Bible say? And I'm going to share with you, I believe with all my heart, that the Bible teaches that if you're going to have a biblical worldview, if you are going to be right with Jesus Christ, you're going to have to be involved in a local New Testament church. And I want to back that up with the Bible. And the reason I say that is because, to the world, church is not important. So today we have to ask, is it really important? I mean, really, you could still be in bed instead of listening to me today. You could prop your feet up at home. And the world will tell you, one of my favorites, if there is such a thing, is you don't have to go to church to be saved. You ever hear anybody say that? You invite them to church? Well, I don't go to church. You don't have to go to church to be saved. Okay. That's your theology. My question is, show me in the Bible something that even remotely supports that theology. Well, now, Brother Doug, you know, the Bible says by grace or through faith are you saved. Yes, it does. But nowhere in the Bible does it say you don't have to go to church to be saved. That's two different subjects. As a matter of fact, everywhere in the Bible, when people got saved, they went to church. Everywhere. Another one of my personal favorites is the church is filled with hypocrites, and I'm not going to be a hypocrite. Once again, show me in the Bible. Give me some biblical foundation. I'm not questioning right, wrong, right. Just give me some biblical foundation that you don't need to be involved with the church because there's hypocrites there and you don't want to be a hypocrite. The other one is all they want is your money. Give me biblical foundation. I don't go because they're always preaching about money. Give me biblical foundation for your opinion. Because I'll show you where the Bible says give and it shall be given. Well, Brother Doug, I got hurt years ago, and so I just don't do that anymore. Give me biblical foundation. That's all I'm asking. If you do not believe church should be a priority, just give me some kind of biblical foundation for your opinion. That's not too much to ask, right, if we're going to have a biblical worldview. I think one of the problems that people have today is that we look, instead of looking at church and what it's supposed to be according to the Bible, we look at flawed people. And the church is made up of flawed people. I mean, how many are flawed? I've got to raise two hands. Right? We're all flawed. And people use the flaws of people in church to excuse themselves from being a part of the New Testament church. If we're going to base our participation in church on the flaws of the people in church, here's what we have to do. We have to be consistent, right? I want to live consistent every aspect. If I say something, I want that to be consistent through my life. So, if I'm going to consider the flaws of the church, I'm going to have to consider the flaws of the things and people in the world. For example, doctors. Doctors are great until they're not. Every doctor, at some point, has made a bad call. Right? Given medication that didn't work for the patient, done something, provided treatment that just didn't work for the patient. But you know what I've never heard anybody say? I never hear anybody say, I don't go to the doctors because he messed me up years ago. Now, he might change doctors. But they don't dismiss doctors when they get sick like they would church. Sad part is people are spiritually sick and they need church. Give you another example. Food. How many of you have ever had food poisoning? Would you raise your hand, please? Everybody here. We've eaten something that did not agree. But I'll tell you what you didn't do. You didn't say, I don't eat food anymore because I had it one time and it made me sick. You can tell that's not my mode of life. You see, that's what you're saying about church. Has your car ever left you stranded? Been there, it wouldn't start, the battery was dead or whatever. How many people quit driving a car? Listen, if you're going to apply flaws of the church, you've got to apply flaws of life. To be consistent. To dismiss church as an unnecessary part for the life of a believer is just as silly as saying, I'll never drive a car, I'll never eat, I'll never go to a doctor again. No. But let's see what the Bible does say about the importance of church. Okay? See, the Bible emphasizes the importance of church. For example, Ephesians 5:25. We're told, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and what? Gave himself for her. Think about that, if you will. Think about that. If church was important enough for Jesus to die for, don't you think it should be important enough to be a part of your life and my life? Just makes sense. Ephesians 3:21 says, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Do you realize that nowhere in the scripture does it say to the individual who stays at home and dismisses church, to that individual, let God be glorified throughout all generations? No. It doesn't say that. You see, the church is, we're here to glorify God. Matthew 16:18. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell or Hades shall not prevail against it. Notice that word. Jesus said, I will build. What's he doing today? He's building his church. Now, you can back up and say, well, that's just talking about all the saved. No, listen. Listen, the word church means assembly or gathering. The idea of church is for God's people to come together to honor God. And is it important? It is absolutely important. Why, Brother Doug, is it so important? Well, let me tell you why. It has to do with the purpose of church. See, this is why you need church. What's the purpose? The purpose of church, everybody please listen, is to give you the opportunity to serve the Lord with your spiritual gift. Did you get that? Say amen if you got that. All right. What am I talking about? Verse 5. If you'll notice in the text, in verse 5, it says that you were enriched in everything by Him, in all utterance and all knowledge. Then in verse 7, it says, so that you come short in no gift. He's talking about the spiritual gifts that God had given those believers at Corinth to be used among that church at Corinth. See, God had placed individuals in that church, given them gifts to be used through that church. And they were there to complete the body of Christ so that the body, the church, lacked nothing. God had equipped that church at Corinth with everything it needed to serve Him. Okay? So what does that mean to you? Well, let's talk about why will you want to be a part of church. Let's talk about church membership, right? Why do you want to be a part of church? You want to be a part or a member of a New Testament church because God has gifted you with a spiritual gift, just like He gifted the folks at the church at Corinth. He has enabled you to serve. And furthermore, He brought you to this church. Why? Because this church needed the gift that you have. You see, members of the church using their gifts, their God-given gifts, enable the church to function at its fullest potential. You know, it is what it is, right? But a few weeks ago or a month ago, I had surgery. I went into the hospital that morning. When I went into the hospital, I was a very active individual. I was walking 2.5 miles 3 or 4 times a week. I was working out, playing golf, doing all this stuff. And I spent a few hours in an operating room, and they cut some things. And after that surgery, nothing worked. It was all I could do to walk. It's like my legs went to sleep, my foot didn't work. And, you know, I don't know all the technical terms for it, but you know, trying to make that foot pick itself up and take the next step was just almost impossible. What happened? There was a part of the body that wasn't functioning. Now, I don't say that to discredit the doctor. He did what he needed to do. It all went well, and it's all turning out well, and that's great. You know, I'm very blessed, right? But I say that to give an example. If you are a saved individual, and you are not an active part of the New Testament church, a local New Testament church, then there is a part of that local New Testament church that is not functioning because the body part that you're supposed to be is not connected. Does that make sense? If my hand is not connected, it's not going to pick up things. If my feet are not connected, they're not going to pick up things, you know? And so understand, we as the body of Christ, you have been given a God-given gift that completes the body. And so often we see people just kind of go to church and they never take care of membership. You say, what's the big deal about membership? Well, the big deal about membership is making a commitment to that local body. My hand has made a commitment to my body. It is attached. Does that make sense? My feet are attached. My legs are attached. Okay? And when you attach, you're committed. Right? That's the concept that the Scripture teaches about the local church. As long as you're separated from the body, a ministry goes undone. And you may think that you're not important. And I hear this all the time. Well, Brother Doug, I can't do very much. And I'm, you know, I'm not good at this. And I'm not. Let me tell you something. There is no part of my body that's not important. There may be parts that I don't understand, parts that I take for granted, but I promise you every part of this body that God has given me, I treasure, probably now more than ever, right? It's the same concept with the Lord's church. You are important. Not because of yourself, but because of the God-given gift that you have to be used in that local church. That's what was going on at Corinth. Now, they had a lot of issues, imagine. We're going to get into that later on. But I want you to see this picture. And I want you to understand, this is why we do church. This is the point to it all. So that the church can carry on the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brings us to the focus of the church. Right? What is the focus of the church? Why are we here? We're here to make disciples. We are here to make disciples. That's our point. Matthew 28:19-20 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always." That's why we're here. Now, knowing that, that has to be our focus. Right? That has to be the focus of the church. We're here to make disciples. Everything that we do is about making disciples. Why do we have Sunday morning Bible study? To make disciples. Why do we have Awana? To make disciples. Why do we worship together like this? To make disciples. It's all about making disciples. And the problem at the church with Corinth that Paul addresses in the last part of our text was there was divisions. As a matter of fact, he said, he pleaded with them that there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. You know what that word division literally means? It means to tear a garment. And it was used in the context here of having divided loyalties. Now, here's what you have to grab, okay? Most people really don't think that division in a church will ever happen to them. But there's been a division problem among New Testament believers since the days of Jesus. Okay? There has. The 12 apostles. Do you remember their argument? Who's going to be the greatest? Paul and Barnabas. Oh, they had a terrible fight over this young man named John Mark. Paul didn't want him to go any farther because he had abandoned him, and Barnabas wanted to show a little mercy, and it got so heated among those two that they had to go separate ways. Never think that we are beyond division. Because if you lose focus on the purpose of why we're here, division will take that place. Right? If you'll notice, the source of the division at the church, Paul said, that they were saying, "I'm a Paul. I am of Apollos. And I am of Cephas." Now to us, that sounds pretty silly. When people ask you about your relationship with God, I hope you don't tell them, "I'm of Brother Doug." Please don't. But that was the equivalent. And the reason they did that is because, see, Corinth was a place of philosophers, and you were known in Corinth by the philosopher that you follow, by your teacher. And see, that mentality of those philosophers had slipped into the church and had drawn their focus away from their mission to, "I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. I'm of Cephas." And it had divided that church. I want to tell you something. Sometimes division happens. And when division happens, what you have to do is back up, ask yourself, what is that division, And when you realize it has nothing to do with our purpose, then you get rid of it, you dismiss it, and get your focus back upon the Great Commission and making disciples of Jesus Christ. We can get into most silly arguments sometimes, can't we? I've heard churches talk about color of pews, color of paints, and all that, and just have big blow-ups based on stuff that didn't matter. Listen, if it's not about making disciples and honoring God, it probably doesn't matter. That happens when you lose focus. But I'll tell you what, we're susceptible, so you have to be ready for it. And you have to know how to respond when it happens. And when it happens, you do not quit. We can't think like the world, right? We cannot afford to. And the world says, well, when somebody does you that way, you don't have to put up with it. Well, they did it to you. You get them back. They were a smart aleck to you. You be a smart aleck back to them. They've been talking about you to people. You talk about them to people. That's not anything related to the Bible. What does the Bible say, Ephesians 4:31? It says we can't fight like the world. It says let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. What's it saying? It's saying when those divisions happen, you've got to be smart enough and focused enough to back up and make a conscious decision to love and be kind and be tender-hearted and especially be forgiving of other people. It's a requirement of the faith. And I say all that because how many people are out of church today because somebody hurt them? I want you to think about that just a moment. There may be people here who, well, I was hurt, 30, 20 years ago, and, I'm not going to ever be a part of a church again. Where's that found in the Bible? It's not there. See, what you're doing is you are intentionally making a conscious decision to do opposite of what the Bible says to do. Brother Doug, you just don't understand. No, you just don't understand. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving. Now, I understand sometimes the Lord moves people to other churches. I get all that. Sometimes, churches go off the deep end and they become unscriptural. You got to leave. I get all that. But I'm talking about those times when somebody just spoke and they shouldn't have spoke. When they say something to you that sets the wrong way. You got to forgive. And I want to tell you, if you're in church long enough, you will be abused in a church. The question is not will it happen? The question is how will you respond when it happens? Satan has used so much garbage and so much, so many things that pulls the church's focus away to run people off from the church. And there are so many out there that say, I'll just never be a part of a church again. No. Unto Him be glory in the church. Jesus said, I will build my church. Are there flawed people there? Absolutely. Listen, I'm at the front of the list at people with flaws. But we're still God's church. And here's the bottom line of how you have to think. God always forgives my flaws. And I'll tell you something else. He forgives your flaws too. How many times have you failed? How many times have I, you know, I should have been more faithful. I should have been more generous. I should have been more loving. I should have been, you know, and we can should have whatever. But bottom line is we fail and we go to God and what do we say? God, forgive me. God, please forgive me. And what does God do? According to the Word of God, that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to what? Forgive our sins. That's what we have to be as His children. Because see, this is so very important. See, Paul addresses this in verse 17. He says something very, very eye-opening. When he said, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect." What is he talking about there? Well, he's talking about his personal ability and him looking good and people saying, "Wow, look at the philosopher Paul. Look how smart Paul is," and losing the message. Let me tell you what happens in church when there are divisions. We focus on the things that are not important and we lose the message. Or the message loses its power because that's not our source of power. You know what I'm saying? When it's all about the cross of Christ, let me tell you, Jesus Christ crucified for the sins of mankind is a life-changing message. It is a powerful message when you realize how flawed we really are. But the good news is Christ died for our sin. He paid for our sin so that we could have forgiveness of sin. I dare say that most churches today do not see the life-changing power of God because Jesus and the cross of Christ and the Great Commission is not the focus. Church is about making disciples. Don't try to make it about anything else. Now listen, I'm preaching this because this is the next... This is the next thing in the study. But I'm also preaching this because if you're not in this position of being divided, sooner or later it's going to come along and you're going to have to know how to respond. But if you are, if you're having problems of division, you got to go back to who you are in Jesus Christ. You've got to be able to say, "I forgive." "Oh, Brother Doug, I'm never going to forgive it." Listen, you know what Jesus says? Jesus said, "You don't forgive those who have sinned against you. He'll not forgive you of your sins." And I must tell you, I want Jesus to forgive me. Oh, listen, I'm not here to beat up anybody. To whop people over the head, say you need to be more faithful and, you know, getting it. I'm here to help you understand why, church. You need church. You need the support of the brethren. You need the accountability of the brethren. You need the Bible study and the education that you get among the brethren. You need God's church. And God's church needs you. Now, if you're already saved, I want you to think about that and hold on to that. If you're not saved, if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, I want to tell you a beautiful story. You've sinned and come short of the glory of God. I talked about everybody having flaws a little while ago. Everybody does have flaws. By flaws, I'm talking about sin. You've done wrong. In that wrongdoing, Jesus loved you so much that He gave His life. He died to pay the punishment for your sin. You see, the Bible once again says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Today, if you've never committed your life to Jesus Christ, I beg you, receive the forgiveness that Christ died for. Will you call upon Him and make Him the Lord of your life? If you're here today and you've been visiting this church and you've been considering membership, I want you to consider it real hard this morning, okay? You may be here, you know, and it's one of those that you've been considering it and been considering it for 6 months and 8 months and a year and 14, 16. Listen, we can put it off. Bottom line is, you need to be where you can use your gift. And if it's victory, hey, let's do it. And we'll complete the body of Christ. Whatever your spiritual need is, I would invite you to come as we have this invitation. Heavenly Father, I praise You because You are God. There's none beside You. Father, there is power in Your Word. Today, I pray that the lost will understand the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. I pray that the saved will understand the great need for the church. And I pray, Lord, that moves will be made that will honor and glorify You in this invitation. Lord, we place this invitation in Your hands and pray Your will be done in Jesus' name.